go out and celebrate, you know, how wonderful your mother is. You need to show her, you know, what she means to you, the gratitude you have towards her, you know, the thankfulness of her waking up and putting your, you know, your ponte or your cereal, your cocoa pops on the table every morning, and, you know, ironing your underwear and, you know, making sure your shirt's nice and clean. You know, appreciation for your mother. You know, this is a big thing they're always talking about. It's a day for us to appreciate our mothers. You know, so the age-old, you know, thing is, you wake up in the morning, you make breakfast for your mother, and that's supposed to somehow show you, you know, your gratitude towards her for the 18 years that she's fed and clothed you. That somehow putting breakfast on the table for her is a way of showing you how much you know, how much you like her and how much you love her. And it's probably quite funny because at work, you know, obviously at work everyone's talking about Mothering Sunday and they're all discussing, you know, what did you buy for your mother? Oh, I'm going to get her flowers and a box of chocolates. You know, I'm going to buy her flowers and a vase. You know, I'm going to buy her a new plate or, you know, whatever it is they buy. And then, you know, they turn around to me, you know, Mohammed, what are you buying for your mother on Mother of Sunday? And it's like, I'm not getting her nothing. And, the classic, you know, the classic thing, to turn around and look at you and think, you know, what's wrong with you? Don't you love your mother? You know, don't you care about her? And the same old thing we always say, you know, well, I love my mother every day of the year, not just on Mother Sunday. Why do I need to show her just on this one particular day how much I love her? You know, surely I should show her this throughout the whole day. But again, they make a big, huge issue out of this. So wherever you go in the shopping centre, I unfortunately was out with my wife yesterday in Lakeside Shopping Centre in Essex. And, you know, you see everyone, you know, all the special deals you get, you know, buy one bunch of flowers, get second one free, and buy one box of chocolates and get second one free, or whatever it is. But everywhere you go, you know, big signs, Mothering Sunday, show how much you love your mother, you know, show your mother what you mean to her or what she means to you. So they make a massive issue out of this. And one of the things I actually realised, the only people who actually gain anything out of this are the companies that make these cards and the companies that sell you flowers. And just done a quick search on the internet today and actually looked that it's expected that people will spend $15.7 billion, yeah? If you're looking, probably double that, and you're probably getting an equivalent amount in pounds, but $15.7 billion is spent just on Mothering Sunday. So $15.7 billion spent on buying chocolates and flowers. I think that's a phenomenal amount of money for people to be spending at a time where, you know, where they say there's a so-called credit crisis going on, people don't have money to spend. But yet people are going out and buying this 15.7 billion amount of, you know, flowers and chocolates for your mother so they can sit there, you know, smell the flowers and watch them die tomorrow and then eat the chocolates and get fat. But this is a big thing in Western society about, you know, Mothering Sunday. And really the point is we want to talk about here is, you know, mothers and motherhood and the true meaning of what a mother is and the true meaning of what a motherhood is about is a dying breed in Western society. They've actually lost this idea and they're actually losing this understanding of what a mother is and what is motherhood. And we're actually asking, what is motherhood and what does mothering, you know, mothering your children mean? Now what you're beginning to find is that slowly by slowly these ideas that they have of motherhood and this concept of what a motherhood is, you know, your old typical, you know, Victorian mother stays at home, puts the tea on the kettle, makes your food for when you come home. They're losing this understanding of what motherhood is. And this is really the big delusion that is occurring in society. That they've got a whole day devoted to this thing called Mothering Sunday. Yeah, this whole thing about motherhood. And they've actually lost the true meaning of what mothering is. And what do I mean by this? Yeah, what is motherhood? And what is this mothering that they have in Western society? And why have they lost this? You know, traditionally we consider what motherhood is. It's about raising children, isn't it? Providing for your family, cooking, cleaning, raising up your children so that they become decent members of society. So that when they become adults and decent members of society, they're able to go out into society and be able to work and study and the rest of it. What you're actually finding nowadays is that Western women are actually thinking, you know, this motherhood malarkey. Oh, forget this, mate. It's a load of rubbish. You know, I'm an equal. I'm the same like a man. You know, they believe in this idea called equality. And they say that because a man is equal to a woman should be able to do exactly the same job as what a man should do. So what you're finding now at the moment, you know, you're finding all these women on building sites, you know, tugging around, you know, bricks on their shoulders and throwing sand into the cement because why? What do they say? Women are like men, you know, we're equal to men. And so what you're finding is that women are actually saying that I've had enough of this motherhood malarkey, I'm putting that to the side. I want to become a 90s woman, you know, I'm a modern woman. Yeah, I'm a modern days woman. So what they're doing, they're going to uni and they're studying and they're saying that, you know what, I've studied for the past 10, 11 years of my life. I've gone to college, I've gone to uni. Yeah, the last thing I want to do now is get a muffin in the oven as such, and then stay at home and bring up these children. So what I'm going to do, you know, I've studied to become a doctor. I'm going to become a doctor. And so what you're finding in the city at the moment, you're getting all these women that, after graduating from uni, they're going into the city, becoming lawyers and solicitors and, you know, IT and whatever else these women do. And they're saying that these children, this children thing, this ability I have to have children, I can't be bothered with it. Yeah, it's going to stop me from achieving what I want to achieve in life. It's going to stop me from achieving the £100,000 pay packet that I can achieve. It's stopping me from achieving the nice car that I might be able to drive. Or it's stopping me from achieving, you know, this management position in these companies where I can become one of the best paid women in Britain. And so what you're finding with a lot of these women, they're actually saying that they're sacrificing their ability to have children. They're saying, I don't want to have children because I want to progress in my career. I'm going to progress in my career. These children, you know, if I start having children, I'm going to have to stay at home, I'm going to have to wipe their backsides, I'm going to have to stick a bottle of milk in their mouths every 2 hours. You know, I can't be dealing with this. I'd rather go into the city, sit there, front my email, you know, typing away. So what you're finding in the city at the moment, you're finding lots and lots of women. I used to work in some of these organizations where you find lots of these women, 35, 40 plus, never had children in their life. And when you ask them, you know, what about children? What's going to happen? Do you not feel like children? They say, yeah, children, what's that? Forget that, you know, I've got internet, I've got got Facebook, you know, what do I need children for? And so what you find, they've actually, you know, scrapped this whole idea of having children, because why? They've bought into this idea that I'm equal to a man, I can achieve the same type of salary, I can achieve the same type of jobs that a man can achieve. And so what you're finding is that you're having an aging population, and what I mean by this is that people in this country are actually getting older, and they're having less and less children. And there was an interesting statistic a few months back that was saying that, you know, if you actually compare, the Muslim population is actually growing in this country. Yeah, Muslims are actually growing in this country, whereas the Western population are actually shrinking. Yeah, the traditional so-called English population, they're actually shrinking. And one of the reasons why is that, you know, obviously they're having less kids and they're not getting married. Whereas with Muslims, you know, the standard practice, if you're Pakistani, you're going to have 5 or 6. If you're Bengal, you can have 8 or 9, you know, and if you're something else, you're probably at least aiming for at least, you know, a semi-decent football team. But that's the running joke in this country, isn't it? Muslims aren't afraid to have kids. So if you actually look at statistically, in terms of the Muslim population, 50% of the Muslim population in this country is actually below the age of 25. 50% is actually below the age of 25. Contrast that to the non-Muslim population, yeah? 50% of their population is actually above the age of 45. And this is why they're so worried that they're coming back and they're saying, well, hold on a minute. You know, in a couple of decades' time, there's going to be more Muslims in Britain than non-Muslims. And if you come to, like, places where I live, like Walthamstow, you actually, you know, it's literally spot the non-Muslim. You know, everyone's Pakistani, yeah? It's literally, where's the white people? I had a relative come over recently. And he's like, well, all the people here are brown. You know, where's the whites? But this is the joke. This is the issue. That, you know, because of these mothers, they're going into the workplace and they're getting these careers and getting these jobs and not having children. So what's happening? Their population are getting smaller and smaller because all the old people are dying and they're not having children to replace them. Whereas with the Muslims, it's the opposite. So like I said, you know, you're getting all these women that are going out in the workplaces and they've actually invented a really nice term for them. Yeah, it's actually quite funny. When they do have children and they're working mothers, they're called a supermum. Yeah, they're called a supermum because why? She's able to look after a kid, yeah, and also hold down a job in a city. If you actually look at what they do, what do these supermoms do? Because I actually know some of these women in my workplace. What do? They wake up in the morning, shove some sandwiches in the kid's packed lunchbox, yeah, drop the kid at the nanny's place. They're off at work at 9 o'clock, don't finish till about 6 or 7, and then pick up the kids from the nanny. Kid comes home and puts them to sleep and that's it. That's their role as a mother. And it's no wonder now, if you actually begin to think about it, if this is how they're actually raising their children, or in fact they're not even called raising their children, because why? The nanny's actually raising their children. All the mother does is pick her up, drop the kids off at the nanny's place and picks them up in the evening and puts them to sleep. And it's no wonder that these kids, as they're growing up, who's mum? Who's dad? They don't know who mum and who dad is, because why? Mum and dad are always at work. Yeah, where's mum? Mum, I don't know. Mum just picks me up, takes me in the car, drops me off at the nanny's place. So they actually have more affinity and they have more relationship with their nannies than they actually have a relationship with their mothers. So how many of these mothers actually hear the kids' first words? Yeah? How many of these mothers actually hear or see their kids' first footsteps? Probably very few, because why? They're too busy in the office, yeah, trying to secure the next deal, trying to get the next promotion. And that's why this whole issue about Supermum, it's such an ironic issue that, you know, they're apparently supposed to be so good how they're able to have kids and they're able to have, you know, they're able to, you know, look after their children at the same time, have these city jobs. But what's happening to these children? What is happening to these children? Who's teaching these children about the good values? Yeah? Who's teaching these children about the good values that kids should have? What you're finding, what's happening to these children, is that they're picking up these ideas, these values, from where? From the TV. So you've got this so-called MTV generation that are growing up, yeah? Watching these things, wearing hoodies, and I've got a hoodie on myself, but, you know, wearing these hoodies, you know, seeing what this knife is and thinking, oh, this is quite interesting, I can go up to someone, stick this knife in someone's neck, and I can have a mobile phone. And so what you have is a growing youth population. They're actually being cultured by the TV and the Western media. Yeah, because why? Where's mum and dad? Mum and dad's nowhere to be seen. Yeah, mum and dad's not seeing them taking drugs. Mum and dad's not seeing them, you know, taking a part of Carlsberg or Heineken or whatever it is they drink, or Alka Pops. Mum and dad's not going to tell them to not do that. Mum and dad's not going to tell them not to take some E's or some Widgie Back or whatever they smoke. Yeah, so what happens? These kids grow up taking all these things. Mum and dad's not there, the nanny doesn't care, because the nanny's getting paid to do what? Just sit there and make sure the kid don't kill itself. Rather than that, kids are just growing up like in the jungle, and they're growing up wild. And so it's no wonder that you have a problem in society today. It's no wonder you have, you know, everywhere you look in the media, you know, you're wearing a hoodie, everyone's scared of you, because of this whole issue about kids. They're saying kids are running wild. You know, they're sticking in knives in front of people, you know, they're running around with knives and guns. They're taking drugs and they're drinking, this binge drinking they're talking about. Well, the question is, where's the mothers? Where's the mothers? You know, if I was to come home and do anything like that, you know what you're happy with your mum. You know, the relationship you have with your mum's broomstick and slipper. You know, the moment you step out of line, it's one of the two. Yeah? But in Western society, in the society we have today, where are the mothers to actually culture and correct their children? The mothers are too busy trying to secure the next promotion at work. So you're getting these people growing up without any sort of family value around them, any sort of laws or boundaries that are being taught to them. So you get these kids growing up with ASBOs, like they think it's like next qualification, if you get 3.5 ASBOs, be able to get you into somewhere like Middlesex University or something. So that's what we see on the one side. What are some of the other things with motherhood? You know, having children today, yeah, is a bit of a fashion statement. Yeah, it's today, you know, before you used to have, you know, what's her name? Auzubillah. Scatty woman from America, Paris Hilton. Yeah, sitting there with a dog in a handbag and whatnot, you know, running around thinking she's that. Now it's no longer a dog. It's no longer one of these dogs with no hair. God, no, it's like a rat. But no longer one of these dogs in a handbag. What is it? New fashion accessory today is designer kids, isn't it? It's about having a nice little kid at the end of your arm. Yeah, you see them sitting there with the kids like that, not sure what to do with it, and not sure why it smells, but they're sitting there taking pictures with these kids in their hands. This is what kids has become today for a lot of these women. It's a fashion accessory. So you want to be, you know, you want to be trendy, you want to be in with the crowd, you know, you want to be a superstar. What you need to have a little kid now. So you get all these, you know, famous actresses and music stars all lined up to get children. You know, so you've got people like Nicole Richie recently had a kid. Yeah, imagine, God knows what that's going to turn out like. Yeah, it's a disaster waiting to happen. Angelina Jolie and Madonna. You know, they haven't got enough kids in America. She's got to go to Malawi to find the next fashion accessory. Because now, it's no longer just the white kid, the black kid's the new thing. Yeah, the black kid's the new accessory. It's like Armani black, but literally it's Malawi black. So they're getting black kids now, just to be different. You know, Britney Spears. You know, here's a lady who can't even look after herself. And for some reason, she's got kids. Yeah? Victoria Beckham, Katie Holmes. You know, the list goes on. Yeah? All these train wrecks, these are like disasters are waiting to happen with their kids. But that's what happens. Western society, motherhood today is about what? A kid is not about looking after and nurturing, raising someone to be a decent member of society. Your kid is nothing more than a fashion accessory. And you know what happens with fashion accessories and fashion trends? Yeah, they're in for a while, and what happens when the next trend comes out? They're in the shop. And that's what happens to a lot of these kids. The other thing, you know, the other interesting thing, side point really. Yeah, once they had the kid, you know, the race on, I've had my kid, but how quickly can I slim down so I can fit into my size zero jeans? You know, you look at any of these women magazines, yeah, and my wife told me this, I swear I don't watch any of these magazines, but you said, you know, just open any of these magazines, as soon as the woman's had a kid, How quick can she fit into our size zero jeans? Yeah? So they're competing with each other now. How skinny can I be after giving birth? So they're talking about, you know, try this diet, try that exercise, and try this and try that, because guaranteed after you had a kid, you can fit into one of these jeans within 6 weeks. Yeah, and anyone knows, you know, anyone who has married, has had children knows, you know, when women have kids, you know, there's natural consequences, you know, they put on a bit of weight naturally. But no, in the Western world, what they want to do, they want to get skinny again, because why? Obviously, being fat isn't very good. You know, no one's going to look at you thinking if you're a bit plump, you're a bit fat. Now you've got to fit into your size zero jeans. So again, you know, this concept of motherhood, forget about the child and raising the child, it's all about me. It's all about making sure I look right, my kid looks right at the end of my arm, and making sure that I can fit into my clothes I used to wear before. So that's one side of motherhood in West. You know, this super mum culture that exists. What's the other side? Any of you guys heard of some guy called Alfie Patton? Alfie Patton. Alfie Patton was this poor guy who was just picked up on. But it was a 13-year-old that decided to have a kid with his 15-year-old girlfriend. There's a guy, he hasn't got a hair on his chin, but suddenly, you know, he's in the limelight in front of all the newspapers because why? His girlfriend suddenly had a kid. Yeah? And that is for you, that's for me, a stereotypical image of Western society. There's a guy, he hasn't got a clue, he probably doesn't even know how to spell his own name. But he's actually now, he's got a kid. You know, imagine him sitting there looking at this thing. Bloody hell, what the hell is this? What have I got in my hand? You know, his 15-year-old had a kid. But this is the next type of modern-day mother. Yeah, the rise of the chav mum. Yeah, this is a new type of mother today. You know, you're Vicky Pollard's yeah but no but type person. You know, sitting there having these kids, sprouting all these kids like they got acne, like they got more spots on their face, and they have more kids than they have spots. The problem is, you know, they go to school, we've all been to school here. I went to a school, you probably had, you know, 10 white girls. And you can guarantee by year 11, they all had a couple of kids each. Yeah? They all had a couple of kids each because they met some guy, the guy said, I love you, and that was it. You know, next thing, you know, she had a bun in the oven. But this is Western society. This is Western society. Britain has the largest teenage pregnancy rates in the whole of Europe. And all these guys know, you know, you find a girl, tell her you love her, and that's it, it's sorted. And this is why they're having the kids. You go to any of these maternity wards, yeah, you're not going to find, you know, middle-aged women, 35, married, happily married, having kids. It's full of what? It's full of who? These teenage girls, isn't it? It's full of these teenage girls having these kids. And you're thinking, you know, hold on a minute, you're 13 years old. What do you know? You know, you can't even look after yourself. You can't even look after yourself and you're having a kid. And you see the kids, you see them walking around in their prams, swearing at their kids, fag in one mouth, bottle of alcohol pops in the other, taking a swig every now and again. Hey, what you looking at? Shut up. You know, leave me alone type of attitude. And you see them, you know, you go to places like Lakeside, this is the type of scenario. So you've got these chav mums. And what happens to the dads? Where's dad? You know, dad said, I love you. He's done his dirty business. He's gone, mate. He's thinking, what? I've got to change this nappy every 2 hours. I've got to feed it. It cries. It screams. Forget that, mate. I'd rather watch the football. So dad says his girlfriend comes home and he goes, you know, I'm late, you know, sorry, I'm pregnant. But it's gone, forget it, mate. You know, I'm 13 years old, 14 years old, I've got better things to do with my life, you know. I want to watch Man United win the league, yeah, which is going to happen. So you get these chav mums, and they're glorified in society. You know, Vicky Pollard, yeah, but no but. You know what I'm talking about, yeah?
Yeah.
You've all seen her. Yeah, Charlotte Church, you know, Jordan, you know, the train wreck, Kerry Katona. Yeah? These type of mums, yeah? Complete train wrecks. They're like they've been hit by a train, but they're having kids. You're thinking, my God, what is going on? And these are people pushed in the media, pushed in the limelight. This is what modern-day motherhood is like. You know, sitting there suffering from depression, taking drugs, sitting there swearing at your children. But this is what modern-day motherhood is like. And it's no wonder, you know, you look at mothers like this. Yeah, you got mothers who've got problems themselves. Is it no wonder that you got kids going around stabbing each other, shooting each other, taking drugs, binge drinking? Is it surprising? No, I don't need a PhD from Oxford. Yeah? I don't need to study these things for many years. I could sit in happily in Walthamstow, look at the white girls at school and easily tell you know what? I'll tell you what the problem is. You've got a problem with your mothers in society. Your mothers are absent. Your mothers are more interested in looking after themselves than raising children. And that's why you got these problems in society. Yeah, just look at any of us. The moment we stepped out of line at home, what did we get? The moment we stepped out of line at home, what did we get? We know we'd get a beating from our mum. Yeah, mum weren't afraid of giving us a beating. Yeah, she'd give us a beating just for the hell of it. Yeah, it's standard, isn't it? We're Asian. It's like that. Yeah, you step out of line, your mum gives you a beating. But what happens with these kids in Western society? Where is mum? Like I said, mum's too busy at work, isn't it? Because she's got a career, you know, she's got a job in the city. You know, she wants her next pay rise, or she wants the next promotion, or get the next sell. She's not really too bothered what happens with the kids. And then you got the rise of the super chav mum. They're more interested in how they look in their Burberrys, their fake Burberrys, if that. Yeah, who they? What do they care about what their kids are doing? You know, it's how do I look? That's their motto. So again, all these issues we find in society today, all these things they're talking about in the news, about the rise of, you know, hoodie culture, you know, crime and drugs and binge drinking. What the hell do you expect? What do you expect? Decent citizens are being raised in this society by their mothers, law-abiding, well-mannered, well-spoken, polite individuals. It's not surprising you're getting, you know, kids that speak just like how their mothers speak to them. It's not surprising you're getting kids as young as 9, 10, 11, drinking alcohol and smoking and taking drugs at such a young age. That's what their mothers are doing. What do you expect? That's very depressing. Like I said, you know, we're talking about Mothering Sunday. And just look at the state of motherhood today in society. It's so depressing when you actually think about it. Now, if you as a woman and you're thinking about raising a child in this society and being a mother in this society, you'd be worried. In fact, I'd be worried for you guys who are not married. You've got to get married to someone in this society. You know, you need to find someone, hopefully, who has not been indoctrinated with these Western ideas of, oh, I want a career, I want to become a doctor, I want to become an engineer. I studied 4 years at college. I went to university, I was the first one. You know, I want to get a career. You've got to find someone in society who doesn't think like that to say, you know what, I understand what my role is. And the worst thing is, when they actually look at all of this, they at the same time, having all these problems with their, you know, chav mums and their super mums and the rest of it, they turn around and they say to us, you Muslims, you're backwards. Yeah, you guys are backwards. You know, you guys oppress women. You know, you're women. Look at your women. Look how you treat them. Look how they are. And after everything that's been happening, everything that's going on in their own society, they can actually turn around to us and say, we've got a problem with our women. And this is where we need to actually turn back to them and say, well, hold on a minute. Let's look at your society. Let's look at how you deal with your women. Let's look at the pressures they face living in this Western society. And let's look how Islam actually deals with these issues. So how does Islam look at some of these things? You know, we sat there and we cussed the women, and we can cuss them all night long, to be honest. How do we look at some of these issues from an Islamic point of view? Well, first of all, you know what? One of the big problems they have here, they believe in this concept called equality. They believe men can be equal to women. So anything a man can do, a woman can do. So if a man can go to the moon, the woman must be able to do that, no matter what she has to sacrifice. So if she means she's going to be single at the age of 50, never had a kid, then she's willing to do that in order to be equal like a man. And the first concept that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us is what? We come from the same creator. We come from the same creator. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who created us, both men and both women. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in Surah An-Nisa, he says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ya ayyuha an-nas, uttuku rabbukum alladhi khalakukum min nafsin wahidatin, wa khalakaha min zawjaha, wa bathaha min huma rijalan kathiran wa nisa'a, واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in Surah An-Nisa? He says, oh mankind. So he's not just talking about Muslims. He's talking about the whole of mankind, men and women, Muslim and non-Muslim. Oh mankind, be dutiful for your Lord. He created you from a single person, and from him he created his wife. And then from both of you he created many men and many women. And fear Allah from whom you demand mutual rights, and do not cut relations with the room. Allah is ever all-knower and all-watching over you. So what's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us here? That he created both men and both women. And the other thing we learn is that he's created us differently. He's created us differently. He's created man, and he's created women. And men, physiology is different from women. Women have the ability to give birth, men don't. Men have the ability to do certain things, women don't. So in other words, that from their very nature, men and women are very, very different. So therefore, we don't believe in this concept called equality, because why? the natures of men and women are different. They're two different beings. They're two different. They're made up by two different things. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's created both of them. And because Allah has created both men and women, He knows what's best for both man and both women. And so therefore, He's assigned us roles. He's given us roles. And He goes, if you follow these roles, you'll have a harmonious society. So what's the role of the man in society? What's the role of a Muslim man? The role of the man is to provide for his family. Yeah, he's the protector, he's the guardian. He's the one who earns the money, he's the one who brings the things from outside. And more importantly, what's the role of the woman? The role of the woman is to what? Have children, to raise their children, to make sure the children are, they have the good Islamic characteristics, they have a good understanding of Islam, they fear Allah. And when you mix these two things together, the man who understands his role and the woman who understands her role, you will have a harmonious marriage. You won't have what you find in Western societies today, you know, this competing between the husband and wife. So now you have a new term in the West, it's called house husband. Yeah, if you ever apply for a job or something and they ask you what's your profession, you know, before you used to list all the jobs and then at the bottom you have housewife. Now there's one below that, house husband. In other words, you're a kept man. Yeah, your wife goes out, she earns the money, you sit home, you cook, you know, wear the little apron and wear the little yellow gloves, do the dishes, looks after the children. Yeah, because why? The woman says, well, hold on a minute, I'm equal to you. Why should I have to stay home, look after the children, while you go out and work? I want to go out and work, you look after the children. And this is a problem they have in Western society, like I said. But Islam looks at us as, it sees us differently. It realizes that we're different. It realizes we have different abilities. And that women are able to have children and men not. And therefore, it gives us a perfect harmonious system. And it gives us roles, and it gives us rules. And that if men and women stick to these roles and stick to these rules, we'll have a balanced society. And that's completely opposite to the West. So there's a saying once by someone I went to go listen to. And he goes, yeah, if you look at it, the mother is the first teacher of the scholar in Islam. Think about that point. The mother would be the first teacher of the scholar in Islam. Think about all the historical scholars we've had in our past. All the great scholars that have existed. May Allah bless them all. And inshallah, all the great scholars that are coming. Who was their first teacher? Who was the first one that taught them how to read? These beautiful qadis that we have today who are able to recite the Quran so beautifully. And that the many hafiz that we have, the people who are able to recite the Quran off by heart. Who was their first teacher? It's their mothers. Who was the first teacher of the Mujahid? The one who stands on the battlefield defending the honor of Islam. Who was the first teacher of that Mujahid? Again, their mother. So if you actually look at it, motherhood in Islam plays a very important role. That she's the first teacher of these people. She's the first teacher of the scholar. She's the first teacher of the Hafiz and the Qadi. She's the first teacher of the Mujahid. She's the one that builds and instills the deep Islamic values in this child. So as the child grows up, he grows up understanding that he's created from Allah and that his purpose in life is to worship Allah and that this life is nothing merely than a test. Like the hadith of the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that what? Treat life as if it's a test. That you're here as a journey. That you're just passing by. Just like myself, just come to King's Cross for the talk. Just passing by the area. Treat life like that. It's our mothers, it's the Islamic mothers that will build these type of values in these children and in our children. So that when these people grow up, they grow up as God-fearing citizens. People who understand their role in life. People understand their responsibilities towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's all because of who? Your mother at home. Your mother at home. Just contrast that to Western society today. Where are the mothers? Like I said, you know, we're talking about Mother's Day. Where are the mothers today? Where are the mothers today? And they have the ability, or they have the cheek, to turn around to us and say to us that we oppress our women. When their women are struggling to get into size zero jeans, yeah, a couple of days after giving birth. And really, just to finish it off, to really highlight how different motherhood under Islam is compared to the West, I just want to relate to you two hadith. The first hadith you're probably all aware of, because our mothers tell us this at a very young age. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tell us? Where did the doors of Jannah lie? at the feet of your mother. And what did the Sahaba ask? And then after that, and what did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reply? Again at the feet of your mother. And the Sahaba asked again, what are, and after that, what did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reply? Your mother, the feet of your mother. And only at the fourth time did he say, your father. Look at the honor Islam has given to Muslim women. That the doors of Jannah lie at the feet of your mother. Imagine that. How are you able to attain Jannah if your mother is displeased with you? Look at the honor Islam has given to the Islamic mother. And the second hadith is a very beautiful hadith. It happened at the time when some of the Sahaba were performing tawaf around the Kaaba with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we know from Islam that the performance of the tawaf is a highly rewardable action. There's so much reward in the performing of the tawaf. And so one Sahaba, he turned to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, you know, is doing one tawaf, yeah, going around the Kaaba once, is that equivalent to my mother giving birth to me? Yeah, in terms of reward. Is that equivalent to my mother giving birth to me? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he turned around and he said to the Sahaba, he laughed at him, you know, in a nice way, he laughed at him. And he goes, oh my Sahaba, your one tawaf is not even equivalent to one contraction she had when she gave birth to you. Subhanallah. That the reward of one tawaf, the performing one tawaf, is not even equivalent to one contraction she had when she was giving birth to you. And you know when women give birth, you know, it's not a quick job, 5 minute job. Yeah? It can be many hours. And it involves, you know, much pain. And it's not even equivalent to one contraction she had. So imagine the reward and the prestige and the honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to our Islamic mothers, to our Muslim mothers. Look at the honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon her. The fact that the doors of Jannah lie at the feet of your mother. Is that not something which is honourable? And it's with this, to be honest, we should actually go back to the West. And when they attack Islam for being oppressive towards women, and when they attack Islam for being backwards, we should actually turn around and say, look at your Western society. Let's look at your mothers. Where's Vicky Pollard? Bring her on the stage. And say, this is your mother today, Vicky Pollard. You know, fag and alcohol pops in one hand, fag in her mouth, you know, effing and blinding here and there. This is what your mother is today. Let us show you what an Islamic mother is about. And say to him, how dare you assault us of being backwards and oppressive towards women. Look at your mothers. And the final point for us, you know, for us, Mothering Sunday doesn't exist only one day. Every day is a special day for us with our mothers. Because we realize the only way we can attain Jannah is if our mothers are happy with us. So every day for us is a Mothering Sunday. Yeah, every day for us is a special day for our mother. Because we realize, you know, the immense reward that she gave when she was given birth to us. The immense reward she will gain for the moment that you was born. How she looked after you. How she fed you. How she clothed you. How she protected you. That is the reward that she will see with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is a reward that no other man that can give her. So with that, inshallah, I'll end my talk. So it's something we should remember. And it's something that we should think about ourselves, how we are towards our mothers. Because one day our mothers will die. One day our mothers will die, and that's for sure. Because when Allah, He created us, He also created death for us. And that's the one thing we know that will happen in our lives. Make sure that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the day He takes our mother away, make sure that is the day that she is happy with us, that she is not upset with us. That is the day that when she asked me to do something, I obeyed her command and I done it for her. Because I realize that the doors of Jannah lie under her feet. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله العظيم.
جزاك الله خير brother Nawaz. Inshallah, we're just going to watch a quick video, inshallah, yeah? So, from the lights.
And I find that when I started looking to Islam, I found something, you know, the picture was so different from what is portrayed in the media. The fact that, as you know, as a woman, you know, Islam holds a woman in such a high honor in the society, how the woman as a mother and a wife, as a daughter, as a mother and wife, is treated like a queen in her home.
Beforehand, you know, like from everybody. I used to feel that, you know, everybody wants a piece of you. They say that they respect the woman, but you know that it's just, they see the woman as just a sexual object. So, you know, like friends and people that you know, they only hang around with you or spend time with you if they can, you know, like, if you fit into their crowd, if you look right.
Before you become Muslim, all you care about is how good you look. And if you go outside, you're not looking your best, then it's like, oh, you know, no, you don't get any attention and nobody wants to speak to you, nobody likes you, and you're just left behind and ignored a bit, and all your friends get all the attention because they're looking better than you do.
And the women try to attain that type of look as well, you know, to try and beautify themselves and make them and display themselves.
But in Islam, it's not like that. You're respected for who you are, and respected for, you know, your piety and your actions rather than just what you look like, or I don't know, how many parties you've been to that week, or how much gossip you know, stuff like that.
Whereas in Islam, you know, the woman's required to cover her beauty and explore herself and her husband and her immediate family, like her father and mother, to see.
Now, as a Muslim, and I've been a Muslim for 5 years, yeah, you know, like, I'm comfortable with this role. In fact, I'm really happy, you know, that Islam has given us the definition for the roles of a man and a woman.
You know, I went to university, I wanted to be a career woman. So a mother and a wife, yes, I would be, but, you know, I'd balance them all together and I want to make it out there. But I used to always say to my grandma, oh, I'll make my husband do washing up and look after the kids and I'll go to work, and she'd say, yeah, but, you know, nightmare.
I used to find it hard that, you know, after like 5 years of studying at university, that I had like to think twice about, should I pursue my career in engineering or should I, you know, think about having a family?
When I came to Islam, it was completely different. Like, it's all set out for you nice and clearly, you know, there's no confusion.
The background that I came from West Indian background, Jamaican background, and you know, there's a lot of issues to do with family, like there's a lot of broken families, dysfunctional families, there's a high ratio of homes which do not have fathers in the home, and this is all as a result of the fact that there's no guidance.
At first it was quite difficult, but then, as you know, once I got married, had children, and then, you know, like, your natural instincts take over. I think every mother would say that, you know, like, if they were working, that they would want to be at home with their children.
When I came across Islam, and this issue of, you know, being a mother and a wife, it was something which gave you such clear guidance on where you stand and how to uphold your role as a wife and as a mother. How to bring up your children and what it means to be a wife and what is the role of a husband and what are the rights and the duty of the husband and wife. And I just found that like a great liberation for me because I think that was a problem before, that people were doing things based on their own mind.
And that does give me comfort that when I get older I won't be, you know, abandoned and left to rot in my old flat, you know, and my children not come and visit me, which is, unfortunately, I've had experience in that field where I've seen, worked in old people's homes, whose sons and daughters do not come and visit their elderly parents.
You never see anybody come and visit them, you never see anybody, and they have children. But the children must really come just at Christmas.
Even at Christmas, you know, they're not even sent any Christmas cards. And I remember working at Christmas with the elderly people and trying to make them feel a bit better. And it is really heartbreaking when you go into certain old people's homes and all their life these people have looked after their children and all they can speak about is their children. And their children can't even be bothered to come and visit them once a week. And then the saddest thing is when they die, the elderly people, then the children come and take the inheritance. And I do feel relieved that, you know, inshallah, this is not what's going to happen to me, that my children will always be there for me. Because Islam requires them to do that. You know, the emphasis is on that, you know, paradise is the feet of your mother. And when I first heard that as a Muslim, that made me cry because you know, emotional, that the responsibility a child has to the mother.
coming to Islam is not just about, these are some of the beautiful outcomes of practicing Islam. It's not the reason why one takes on Islam. We take it on because it's the truth. And even if, by the, you know, Allah forbid, the child becomes misguided, at the end of the day, you know that you're following the truth. And that's the most important thing, and that you uphold your responsibility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.